Well, hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us again for another Basic Conversation. I'm Brad Rieger. I'm the host, and across from me is Father James Basic. And Father Basic, today, in continuing with our Season 5 theme, and the theme for the fifth season is Pope Francis and his legacy.
Yeah.
And we're doing different episodes on different topics, and today we're going to talk about Pope Francis and consumerism.
Yes.
How do you want to enter into this?
I want to start out by saying Pope Francis is not an economist, and he has his own views of capitalism. The American economists are very critical of Francis's view. They think he is very taken by an Argentinian notion of crony capitalism.
Which is what?
That is a sort of like an oligarchy that's running things and with special friends and so on. And that fundamentally he doesn't understand how the American system works. So you get a lot of original criticism whenever he talks about economics. He doesn't know what he's talking about and doesn't understand our system and so on. He does have in his own take on our system, and he sees it, whichever kind of economics you prefer, Keynesian or supply side or whatever, it's all about more. It's about growth. In other words, our economy, we talk about it's good because it's growing, right?
Right.
And so Francis thinks that to be in that part of, in the United States and living with that system, that we are moved towards sort of a bad outlook on consumerism. So consumerism for him becomes a negative word. I mean, we've got consumer protection agencies. We got consumers groups that are helping people that are very good. But that's not what he sees. He sees consumerism as a promoting acquisitiveness of that you measure your worth by how much you have. To have more possessions is to be a better person and but more esteemed and higher social privilege and so on. So he does see it as it promotes that. Well, we do every month we get job growth, right? We get how the economy doing? Is it growing or not? So he thinks that produces a faulty kind of consumerism where we begin to value money over persons, where money becomes the center of things and getting more possessions is the way you become happy and have more things is the way. He says that, and of course he thinks that that creates a spiritual problem. Says something like, the emptier our heart is, emptier our soul, our deep religious faith and so on, the less that is operative, the more we need things to make up for it. And he thinks that that is doesn't work, that to emphasize having things is and ends up causing unhappiness. You could make a case for that in many ways. I mean, we've got people who are affluent and well off but are not happy. They're not pleased with their life, and there's a certain emptiness. So anyway, so that's his negative approach to it. Our system is making us be acquisitive. It's making us selfish. It's taking our mind off of higher things and so on. So without going into his technical language, he talks about a technological paradigm, but I think the language isn't important. It's just when he says, looks at our system, he says, it's making us selfish. It's turning people into things. It's blinding us to the troubles of other people and so on. So the question then becomes, practically, I mean, how do you get around that? You know, how do you... So he has a spiritual message that I think makes sense, whether you agree with his total view on capitalism or our economic system. He does have some good things to tell us, I think.
Right. I have a couple summative statements that Pope Francis kind of captures his criticism, and you've written about it before and spoken about it. But let me just throw these at you and just get your reaction, okay?
Yeah.
How about one of the criticism is that consumerism contradicts Christian teachings?
Contradicts. Yeah. Yes, I think we can safely say that, and that's Pope Francis is coming at it from his Christian outlook.
Yeah.
And that he doesn't think that our system promotes that, but more importantly, for our conversation, I think that Christianity contradicts it or challenges it or says, no, there's another way to look at it. So if money becomes more important than people, then Christianity says, no, persons are more important. You make money the center and you reduce people to objects.
Yeah. What about this one? Consumerism promotes a throwaway culture.
Yes. He uses that phrase, doesn't he? Yeah. And in other words, we dispose of things. I think we used to get our shoes fixed. You know, right. I don't think there's too many shoemakers left anymore. Right. You throw the shoes away and then you buy new ones. Right.
Right.
And that's promoting our economy. I mean, so that's one side of American economies. That's good. You create more desire for things. That's why the world of advertising is important. So advertisers always tell us you don't have enough of this. You're just about to run out of beer, or you're going to run out of deodorant or whatever it is. That's never enough of it. You better get some more. Go buy something else.
You're going to run out.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. How about this one? Consumerism leads to a globalization of indifference.
Yeah, that's going to get tricky. I'm not sure that I want to go into that totally. Globalization is... I mean, he does have a good sense of the macroeconomics that... when the whole world is tied up with economic systems and capitalism is fighting for its place and so on in the world, and our problems get multiplied when they're put into a larger economic context. Yeah, he's with that, yeah.
And you've touched on this one, Father Basic. Consumerism creates spiritual and psychological emptiness.
Yeah. The emptier we are spiritually, he says, the more we are not in touch with our deeper feelings, our limited prayer life and so on, we're going to make up for it some way. Mm-hmm. And the culture says you make up for it by buying more things. No, not everyone buys into that. Yeah, I mean, right. I know a lot of Christian people who don't think that way at all.
Right.
But Francis thinks that's the danger that we face.
Right. Two more criticisms that Francis kind of espoused. Encourages selfishness and individualism.
And what?
Individualism.
Yeah, for sure.
The common good is secondary.
Yeah. Don't worry about the common good. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about other people. So he sees our ego replacing God, in a sense, which is a sort of pride.
And the last one is escalates inequality and violence.
Yeah.
Strong words.
I remember being accosted in a subway one time in New York by two men. They walked up slowly towards me. I was alone in the subway. And police had said, don't ever get in that situation. They're coming on each side, and the one guy, I had old sneakers on, crummy sneakers, and the main guy looks down at my sneakers, and they left me go. My poor sneaker saved me in that situation.
Don't wear anything fancy on the subways.
Right, right. Well, I want to get to how he wants to help us to,
what's the solution to overcome all this.
Yeah. So first he takes us back to Jesus and Jesus' own lifestyle, which was very simple. We've said that Jesus had no place to lay his head. In other words, he didn't have a permanent residence. Jesus relied on Mary Magdalene and the Galilean women to help support his ministry. He needed financial help to carry on his ministry. He said, I have come not to be served, but to serve, right? Mm. Not to be served, but to serve. And so Jesus teaches us in a lot of different ways. Let's take the story of Matthew about the birds of the air. You know, the birds of the air, chapter 6, Jesus tells a story. They don't spin or they don't harvest, they don't plant and so on. They don't build big barns, the birds of the air, but God feeds them. And how much more will he take care of us and take care of us? So it was a way of saying, relax about what you have. Don't be so, that's a big part of Francis. You know, be calmer, relax. Don't get bent out of shape over economic matters. And of course, the other great story is the one of Lazarus. That's in chapter 6 of Luke, the story of Lazarus. And so in that story, Lazarus, there's a rich man and there's Lazarus. And Lazarus got sores and he lays at the gate of the rich man's place. And the dogs come and lick his wounds. And I mean, it's a terrible thing. And the rich man doesn't notice him. The rich man passes him every day and doesn't see him. He misses him. He's so caught up with his own goods and what possessions and pleasures that he doesn't see the poor man. And Francis has an interesting comment on that. He says, in the story, just notice that the rich man does not have a name. We know the name of the poor man. The rich man has no name. Francis, Pope Francis, that we're talking about on consumerism, said that means that the rich man had lost everything, lost himself except his possession. He lost his identity. He lost who he really is in the depth of his soul. So we got the teaching of Jesus is strong. The other story ends with saying that, who can add to his life 1 hour by worrying about it? So what he's telling us effectively and in a graphic way is, don't get so upset about your possessions. Don't worry so much about it. We'll get to more detail later on, because you can't do anything about it. You got to relax. A Christian person will be able to be joyful about the simple things of life. And we got to talk about that, what that means concretely. So that's my first main point, is that look at Jesus. He wants us to meditate on that. You know, meditate on the story of Lazarus and see what it tells you about your own lifestyle and so on. Meditate on the birds of the air. Mm. Think about it, reflect on it, pray over it. See, what does it mean about how I conduct my own life? It says at one point that, you know, our budget is a moral statement. How spending is a moral action. How we spend our money is important. So, are we okay with that? You with me?
Solid.
Yeah. How about now? Francis himself. I want to look at him. And Francis was a refugee in Argentina. We know that. He had a great feeling for refugees and so on. And when he became a bishop in Argentina, he lived a very simple lifestyle. He had his own small apartment, cooked his own food, and remarkably, in my mind, took public transportation. I remember one of my Protestant friends here in Toledo, wonderful, generous, good man. For Lent, he fasted from transportation. In other words, he took public transit himself as a Lenten penance. Not too many people are going to do that, right? Hmm. I always admired him, wonderful man. So where was I? Yeah, we're on him. Yeah, so he lived a simple lifestyle in Argentina, and he felt that put him in touch with ordinary people riding the bus, and that he learned a lot from that, that was a valuable thing to do. And then he becomes Pope, and we know when he comes out on the balcony, there was this fancy garment he was supposed to wear, and he didn't wear it. Dressed simply and so on, comes out and says, iconically, memorably, importantly, I ask you to pray for me. Never forget it. I mean, that's the servant. So, and then his choice, where is he going to live? The popes live in the Apostolic Palace. It's luxurious and so on. And he doesn't go there. He said, I'm not going to live there. He lives in the guest house, where all the other people come and stay. That's where he's got his office. That's where he meets people. So he's a sort of living example of not giving in to competitive consumerism, as he calls it, the kind that messes up our head and gets us off track. We're not going to do that. So he gives us the example that way.
What else? You talked about the simplifying life. And the simple joys and embracing
those.
Yeah,
well, let's. He has these little epigrams that he uses. I remember a couple of, maybe you remember of them. Less is more. He says that's in the world religions, and in the Bible, less is more. I'm tempted to tell a personal story here. I used to have my nephews come and visit me when I was in Bowling Green at St. Thomas More. One night we went out for ice cream, and my one nephew is ordering the biggest ice cream you could get, very big. And I said, I was with the whole group, and I said, Christopher, you have to learn the philosophy of limits. Limits. You know, less is more. And I go into all these epigrams and so on. So one of the people in the group says, Christopher, what's your uncle talking about? He doesn't want me to eat so much ice cream. So in our family, we have the philosophy of limits, you know, and less is more. Do you remember any of those other ones? Be happy with less.
I'm no help with the
evidence. Don't be sad about what you don't have. That's another thing. If you're going to compare yourself financially, economically, and all of that, compare yourself with someone who has less, not more. Don't get sad over what you don't have. So I think that was that's a good idea, mm-hmm, that Francis puts in front of us.
Anything else about simplicity?
Well, what he wants us to do, he's big on the family. Let's go back to the family. He says the family is the building block of society. The family should be a domestic church. The church, and it's in the family that we learn how to deal with consumerism. We learn to do with less at times, or to support other people. Mm-hmm. One of the things I find interesting, he puts a big stress on praying before and after meals. You know, he said that's where we learn. And I think that's really true. I don't know how many families pray after meals anymore. We used to do it when I was a kid. Do you pray after meals?
No.
No, you pray before meals.
Yes.
Yeah, and so many people do that. So he thinks that prayer is important. It reminds us that all good gifts come from God, that we should be grateful for what we have, that sometimes we should give up something to help another member of the family who's hurting and so on. prayer before meals. That would be a simple thing. A lot of people who are drifting away from the church stay in touch by that. Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty, Christ our Lord. You know, a familiar Catholic prayer. Sometimes when I'm out with friends for lunch and they're no longer practicing, I like to say, well, can I say a prayer? What prayer am I going to say? Bless us, O Lord. And sometimes I find them mouthing the prayer, you know, bringing back a family memory. Family, in my family, I remember my dad parse out the budget. Budget is a moral document. My father took the money first, put it in an envelope for the church. Then he took money and put it in envelopes for the various charities he supported. Then we went from there. So that's a lifelong lesson I got from my father, you know. Money first for the church, then the charities. So that's what Francis does think, that the consumerism we have leads tremendous inequality of wealth, which is a major problem in our country, right? Ratio of the top 1% owns as much as the bottom, whatever it is, 25%. So he does think that consumer leads to inequality, which suggests that part of how we deal with this is by being charitable and by being caring for the poor. I know some people simplify a lifestyle by going to a food distribution place and serving food, where they're now in touch with the people there, they're poor people, and showing reverence to them and so on, reminding them graphically and regularly as they go to serve food to others that there are people less fortunate, so that we don't get like the rich man and fail to see Lazarus in our midst. I was thinking that grandparents give presents to their grandchildren, and sometimes it's connected with Christmas. And I know that many parishes have the giving tree, where people pick something off the tree and it says that buy pajamas for a 12-year-old or something. And that's a way of broadening out our interests as well, it seems to me. How else can we simplify? How about going to a minor league baseball game where you can go relatively cheaply these days compared to a major league baseball game?
That sounds like a great way to simplify.
Yeah, really.
And tie into something joyful.
Yeah.
And do it with family
and friends. How about shopping at the farmer's market?
Sure.
Buying local goods. How about going to the museum when there's a special exhibit at the local art museum?
Yeah, all good. All good.
Yeah.
Anything else as far as tying up a last tidbit for our listeners as far as Francis's view on solutions to consumerism, or just caution?
I think we got a lot of concrete examples in there, which I think is a good thing.
Yep.
We got a general philosophy that I think in essence he's right that our economic system, whether Keynesian or supply side, it's all about growth. We're either going to grow consumer desire to advertise, or we're going to grow production of goods and plants and so on. And that there is a danger in that. So I would say that what he calls us to do is like, let's see through that. You know, that's not just a neutral system that we live in. Now, I could talk all about more positive ways of thinking of our system and consumerism, but he chooses to emphasize the way it can tempt us and take us away. So I think I get back to the most fundamental idea is that when money becomes the center, human beings are used as instruments. And when we don't take charge of the system and just let us take us over, We get involved in it. We can become like the rich man. Mm. Forget Lazarus. So we want to go back to Francis' own lifestyle, and he takes us back to Christ always. So as Christians, we have to look at our system through the Christ eyes, and let's go back to the birds of the air. They don't spin. God takes care of them. How much more important are we? God takes care of us.
Perfect image. Thank you, Father Basic.